You are listening to Ideas and Leaders Podcast. I'm Elena Paventa, Executive Communication Coach and TEDx Organizer. With each episode, I'll share with you communication tips and ideas from top business leaders to help you excel in your career. Hello, hello. Welcome to the next episode of Ideas and Leaders Podcast. Today, my guest is Heather Dominick, and she's training highly sensitive entrepreneurs and leaders to excel in business and life by doing things differently. I'm super excited to talk to you today. Hi, Heather. It is so great to have you here.
Thank you so much, Elena. I am really looking forward to our conversation.
So I am, I have started thinking whether I am highly sensitive person or not. And I think that having this conversation with you will make me realize that and will make our listeners think about this as well. So who is actually a highly sensitive person? What does it mean?
Yes, great question to start off. So first of all, the terminology of highly sensitive person is not my creation. It comes out of research that really began in the mid-1990s. There's one woman in particular who is most associated with the research, although far from the only researcher in the area. Her name is Dr. Elaine Aaron. And she's most well known because of her book, Highly Sensitive Person. So in short, what it means to be highly sensitive is that your nervous system is wired to take in stimulation at a much higher degree than someone who is not highly sensitive. And based on the research, there's 20% of us who were born into the world highly sensitive. So I always like to say it's just not something that your parents did to you and you didn't pick it up on the playground. And it's not because of that weird drink that you had at university. It is how you were born into the world. And the fact that your nervous system takes in stimulation at a higher degree really impacts how you process the world. And if it impacts how you process the world, then it's going to impact how you show up, either in your business as a person who's self-employed or in any position, including just life as a leader. And that's where my work comes in.
Yeah. So when you work with highly sensitive entrepreneurs and leaders, what are their characteristics? How they are different from average leaders?
Yes. So again, your nervous system is processing stimulation at a much higher degree. So this tends to impact how it is that you are experiencing the world, including relationship with others. And this is where I think it's valuable to highlight in my work what I refer to as an untrained highly sensitive and a trained highly sensitive. Typically, when a person who is highly sensitive hasn't received any guidance, any education, any training about how to work with their nervous system, this will show up in what I refer to as the top 12 highly sensitive shadows. So the person will experience the world more from a shadow perspective. Some of those top shadows are overwhelm, overprotection, overresponsibility. However, when the nervous system is trained, then you are able to shift into what I refer to as the top 12 highly sensitive strengths. And some of those top strengths are intuition, empathy, ability to be deep thinking, deep feeling, deep listening. So when you're really operating within the strength realm of your highly sensitive nervous system, it actually really positions you to be a very successful service-based entrepreneur and a successful leader who operates from intuition, empathy, and again, elements of deep thinking, deep feeling, deep listening. And it really then supports you in being able to lead with others and to lead within yourself.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that there are more highly sensitive people as entrepreneurs, or we can mostly meet them in the corporation? Which career path do they usually choose?
Yeah, I so appreciate that question. I don't know if I can speak specifically to which career path a highly sensitive would be more likely to choose, but what I can speak to through my work is that being self-employed is very attractive to those who are highly sensitive for two primary reasons. One is my practical research has shown is those who are highly sensitive, who feel called to be self-employed, are called to service-based businesses, which makes sense because these types of businesses allow a person who's highly sensitive to really utilize those strengths that I was talking about, to be, say, a really excellent coach or a really powerful hands-on healer, or to really operate as a creative entrepreneur. The second is it's very appealing to highly sensitives because then they get to design their own day-to-day life in a way that really works for their highly sensitive nature. Now, on the flip side of that is being an entrepreneur is extremely challenging. So I also see so many highly sensitives who are attracted to being self-employed, but then can't quite get the business to work. And again, this is really where the work that I do comes in, because a lot of the typical training and support for entrepreneurs doesn't really match how a highly sensitive person is wired. So it isn't that you can't be successful as a person who's self-employed, but it does mean that you are going to have to go about the process differently.
What are the typical challenges that you work with? What are the things that might seem not so challenging, but when you're a highly sensitive person, it is really hard for you to do something?
Yes, absolutely. So again, it goes back to trained versus untrained, right? When you're untrained as a highly sensitive, most likely you're going to be experiencing a lot of overwhelm. And when it comes to being overwhelmed as a person who's highly sensitive, this isn't the modern day, never-ending to-do list, multitasking overwhelm. It's a much more extreme experience because literally the person's nervous system is being flooded with stimulation. So it's a physical and physiological experience of overwhelm, not only mental and emotional. That is going to be extremely challenging as a person who's self-employed because there's so many hats to wear. There's so much to be able to manage. There's so much that needs to be organized. And that really requires to shift and change your experience with your nervous system to then shift and change your experience with overwhelm. I also find that a challenge for, again, the untrained, highly sensitive when it comes to being self-employed often really shows up in the realm of selling, marketing and selling. Specifically because, again, most highly sensitives who are called to be self-employed are called into a service-based business. They're called into a service-based business because it's literally like a heart calling, right? It's a life purpose. It's like, I was brought to this planet to help other people. And when the nervous system is untrained, that feels extremely vulnerable. And there can be a real emotional sense of literally almost like laying your heart on the line, which can create a lot of difficulty and disruption when it comes to having the selling conversation and then being able to receive compensation for this amazing gift that you're bringing into the world. All of that can absolutely be supportive. One, when you learn how to approach selling differently, and two, again, when you really learn how to manage your nervous system so that you're more easily able to take personal responsibility rather than take things personally.
So how to manage this feeling of overwhelm as a highly sensitive person, whether it is when selling or when doing many different activities. Is there a way that we can train ourselves to actually decrease this feeling?
Yes, absolutely. So one of the primary tools and techniques, or I should say an array of tools and techniques that I serve in the highly sensitive leadership training programs for entrepreneurs is what I refer to as energy management. So these are tools that you use proactively as well as, you know, interactively if needed in the moment to begin to learn and understand how your nervous system processes information, how your nervous system processes stimulation, and to begin to develop a relationship with your nervous system. And part of that and part of using energy management is the process of accepting that you process the world differently. And so that means that you most likely, as being only 20% of the global population, are going to need to do things differently than people in your family. You're going to need to do things differently than others who are in your, you know, area of business or career, and you're going to need to support yourself in being okay with that. And as you go through that process and you can begin to accept and then really claim who you are through the use of energy management, it brings the level of overwhelm down, you know, massively. I don't have any specific research numbers, but I see it for myself, and then I see it in front of my eyes every single day with the members that I serve in the Business Miracles community. And when you're able to lower that experience of overwhelm, then you have access to those strengths that I was speaking about earlier. And everything in your business and in your life becomes more enjoyable. You have access to strengths such as creativity. You have access to strengths, again, such as intuition and empathy that I spoke about earlier. And you begin to enter into this different level of productivity, again, when you learn how to accept the fact that you're going to need to do things a little bit differently than those who are not highly sensitive.
So in business, we value such qualities as being strong, being persistent, being tough, and those strengths that you're mentioning, the strengths of highly sensitive people, they are a little bit different, right? This is empathy, this is understanding, this is feeling other people, and actually that helps us being a better coach, but it does not necessarily help us in managing our business and in, you know, doing a lot of things simultaneously and coping with stress and coping with overwhelm. So what is usually your advice to those highly sensitive entrepreneurs? How to make sure that you value your strengths, first of all, that you know that this is just as important as those other qualities, and how to use them to, you know, to excel in business.
Yes. Well, I think you already really spoke to the first and most imperative point in that question, which is to question the values. Right. So you even said yourself, like, you know, we in business tend to value being strong and being aggressive and really being able to accomplish a lot in multiple ways in a short amount of time. And my recommendation would be question those values. So first of all, who established those values? Second, when were those values established? Third, do those values still serve what the world needs now? Fourth, wait a minute, are these my values? And five, if they're not my values, does that automatically equal that I can't be successful in business? Or maybe can I just be successful in business through a set of different values? And that's a real important process of self-inquiry that highly sensitives absolutely must go through as a part of choosing a path of self-employment, choosing a path of empowerment, choosing a path of leadership, truly. the reason why that self-inquiry is so important is because, again, as highly sensitives who make up only 20% of the population, the majority of us have lived the majority of our lives under this misperception, this misbelief that because we tend to do things differently than what I like to refer to as the other 80%, that we equate that with being wrong or less than. And none of that is true. It's just different. So that's first and foremost, question those values. The second piece that I would speak to is understand your coping mechanism. So in my work, I've identified what I refer to as three highly sensitive entrepreneur and leader coping mechanisms. There's the coping mechanism of pushing, being a pusher. There's a coping mechanism of hiding, being a hider, and the coping mechanism that I refer to as being a combo platter, which means that you flip-flop back and forth between pusher and hider. Very briefly, these coping mechanisms have, for the most part, served a highly sensitive person well to a degree where it's helped that person function within a world that's primarily not designed for who they are and how they process. If you're a pusher, that means that most likely you will be able to get done what someone who's not highly sensitive can get done, but it will come at a very high cost for you, typically in the form of health issues, also in the form of relationship issues. You will push yourself to match what an 80 percenter can do. But again, it will really have a negative impact on you. If you tend towards the coping mechanism of hiding, you most likely are really, really good at making it look and appear as if you've got everything together. As an entrepreneur, you probably have a beautiful website. Your materials are gorgeous. You've designed an incredible program and no clients or very few clients, and then therefore no income or very little income. Also, if you're a hider, you tend to really be a martyr where everyone and everything that everyone needs comes before what you need to move your business, to move your life purpose forward. Neither one serves very well. And a combo platter, that's what I like to refer to as the highly sensitive definition of insanity, because it's stop, start, stop, start, stop, start. And you literally will drive yourself crazy. So the opportunity that we have in the highly sensitive leadership training programs is to learn how to shift from coping only into that highly sensitive strength of creativity, to go from coping to creating. And it does require a mindset shift. It requires a belief system shift. But when you do, along with questioning those values, then suddenly the world is like your oyster, right? That you literally get to design how it is that you show up in your day-to-day, how it is that you are here to serve through your business and to be able to step into doing work that is like really, really rewarding. So that's what I would say. Question your values, know your coping mechanism, and do the work to shift from coping to creating.
I really love it. And I realized I have one of those coping mechanisms when you were describing the hiding thing. I was like, oh, I was like this. And I think that I can see myself in there. What would you recommend to people who see themselves in one of those mechanisms? And I'm sure that our listeners, they think that, oh, maybe I'm a little bit of a hider or I'm a little bit of a pusher. What would you recommend them to do to start overcoming this?
Yes. Well, first of all, I'll definitely out myself as a recovering pusher for sure. Right. So, you know, all to say that, again, for most of us who are highly sensitive, we can identify with one or more of those coping mechanisms. So the first step is really awareness. And it sounds so simple, but it's actually really profound. around, because without awareness, then you're just caught in what I refer to as the coping cycle. And it feels like this never ending cycle of getting tossed around through anxiety, fear, a sense of not being able to handle it, coping mechanism, beating yourself up, recovering, soothing, trigger, around and around and around we go. It really is such a sense of being out of control, and that there's nothing that you can do to stop that cycle. But in truth, awareness really is such a key piece, because the minute that you're aware, that is the first step of transformation. With awareness, then suddenly you begin to realize, oh, this isn't something that's just happening to me. This is something that I am participating in. So I can actually begin to make different choices. The second step of transformation from awareness is understanding. So to begin to study and learn more about how your nervous system responds, how your nervous system reacts, to understand the specific ways that that shows up for you and your life, and to begin to bring in a deeper level of recognition, to watch and to witness. You can use tools such as tracking. What is it that triggers me into coping? And what tends to happen when I'm triggered? And what are some possible different choices that I can make? And then that really begins to shift us into that third step of transformation from awareness to understanding. And the third step is knowing. And as you work your way between understanding and knowing by making consistent choices and taking different actions consistently, then you literally begin to walk yourself into a transformation, right? Into change, into a different experience. And then you start to begin to, rather than default into coping, you begin to more easily be able to access that creativity strength that I was speaking of earlier. Now, all of this is definitely for sure a process. But again, that first step of awareness is so, so profound. And my recommendation would be, do not discount it. Don't sweep that under the rug. Don't think like, oh, if I'm aware of it just for one moment, then that's all, that should be enough. Oh, that didn't change anything. Oh, beat myself up and around the cycle you go. Absolutely not. Like, the more that you can stay aware and again, really begin to recognize, to track, and to deepen your understanding into knowing, then you will be on that path of transformation. You will begin to experience a change.
Yeah. So if some of our listeners, they recognize themselves in those patterns and they realize that, yes, maybe they have this highly sensitive part of themselves. Do you think this helps in being a leader, in being a leader in their own business or in a corporate environment? And how does it help?
Yes, it definitely helps. Absolutely. And it helps because it shifts out of that, I'm out of control. This is just happening to me. There must be something wrong with me, that I get triggered so easily into overwhelm, or that I go into pushing or hiding, and again, back into the cycle, beating yourself up, et cetera. And it begins to shift it again out of this is happening to me to this is happening for me. And then you can begin to make different decisions, and it does really impact the way that you show up within yourself. And it really changes the way that you show up with others, right? I mean, I can definitely again speak to being a recovering pusher. And, you know, when I would default to that pushing mechanism, first of all, it was so exhausting for myself. I literally physically wore myself out, creating a lot of health challenges, as I spoke to earlier. And two, I know I wasn't really a fun person to be around. So even though I had these natural qualities within myself to be a really effective teacher, to be a really effective leader, I would constantly be sabotaging myself. by getting caught in that coping mechanism of pushing. And I've worked with enough hiders as their mentor over the years that I know that it's also a really, really difficult experience. It doesn't feel good, and it prevents you from really being, you know, seen in the world. It prevents you from really being in your purpose in the world. And that's really no help to anyone. Right. So absolutely, it really makes a difference in terms of how you show up for yourself and how you're able to show up for others. You know, again, even within family, right? Within friends, within your community, in any of the ways that you're meant to be fully present in this world and to be leading your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And the last question I wanted to ask you is about some tips and some hacks for highly sensitive people. I know that there are a lot of productivity hacks for business people, what to do and how to do to make it easier, faster, better, and so on. And some of those productivity hacks, they just don't work for highly sensitive people. So do you have any tips specifically for highly sensitive leaders?
Yes. Yeah, I so appreciate that. Just the phrase productivity hack tends to like ruffle the feathers for highly sensitives, right? Immediately it's like, I'm not going to be able to do that. And what am I hacking? And that doesn't feel good. So they tend to not work because they tend to trigger us into those coping mechanisms, right? Which is like, okay, now I have to be someone that I'm not in order to get this hack to work, which if you just even listen to that sentence, just seems like absolute nonsense, right? But one of the things that I have definitely found that supports productivity for those of us who are highly sensitive is to change our relationship with time. So we tend to work very differently within time than those who are not highly sensitive. The minute you set up such massive, extreme structures, chunking time, setting timers, having to write everything down, not that there might not be elements of those types of hacks that work, but they tend to really box us in, and our nervous system will get overwhelmed with trying to figure out the hacks rather than actually just letting the hacks work for us, right? But when we change our relationship with time to the same degree that we've been talking about everything so far in our conversation, which is to look at it differently, starting first with like your typical productivity day. Right now, a lot of that is changing in our world already because of the global pandemic that we're living through. But that typical 9 to 5 tends to not work for highly sensitives. What does work is first and foremost understanding your own circadian rhythm. Are you a morning person? Are you an evening person? Are you a night person? Whenever I get asked that question, I always like to say I'm a midday person. I tend to have like 4 hours within the day where I'm at my best. And so what I've learned is I've learned how to work within those 4 hours and to release the pressure of socialization that there's something wrong with me if I'm not working outside of those 4 hours. And there's a lot more to it, but that's a really, really good place to start. Going back to giving yourself permission to do things differently, right? So what is your circadian rhythm? And when do you work best? What do you need to work best? And how can you set that up for yourself so that you are working at your best?
Yes, I think that this 5 a.m. club and, you know, all those things, they make people so stressed, at least some of them. I know that some people, they are like, yes, let's do it. Productivity hacks all the way, wake up at 5 a.m., morning routine and everything. I feel like I'm so overwhelmed just thinking about waking
Absolutely.
Up at 5 a.m.
Yes, so, I'm nodding my head. Yes. I remember a coach saying that to me once, and I like literally started to sweat. You know, it just is like not helpful.
Yes. I really love that. We need to find our own rhythm. We need to make friends with time, not stress ourselves too much right. about it, but just understand that we all work in our own rhythms, in yes. our own ways.
Yes.
Yes. So yeah, we really got some insights into who are highly sensitive people, how do they think. I'm sure that our listeners started thinking about their types, whether they are highly sensitive or not. For sure, I found myself in some of your descriptions and I wanted to have a deeper insight into this. So if we want to explore this topic more, where can we find more information about this?
Yes. Well, there's two resources. So I'll share the first and then you let me know if it would be helpful to also share the second. So the first is what I refer to as the Highly Sensitive Entrepreneur Quiz. It's really an assessment, but it's just easier to create a URL with the word quiz. So you can find that at www.hsequiz.com. hsequiz.com. And there you will find an assessment that will take you through questions based off of Dr. Elaine Aaron's original highly sensitive person assessment. And at the end of that assessment, you will learn whether you are a somewhat of a highly sensitive entrepreneur, or if you are a super highly sensitive entrepreneur, or if you're like me and you are a super uber highly sensitive entrepreneur. And depending on where you fall, somewhat super or super uber, you will receive a free success guide with your assessment score. And that guide will meet you where you're at, again, somewhat super or super uber, and give you some first steps to take to start to work with yourself as a highly sensitive entrepreneur, or maybe somebody else that you know, right? There might be someone on your team. Most likely there are. Again, there are 20% of us. So it could be helpful in that way. And that would be a great place to start.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm sure that that will be helpful for our listeners. I'm interested in doing this assessment myself, and I really recommend our listeners to just go there to the link in our show notes and do this assessment and check whether you are a highly sensitive entrepreneur. Great. Thank you so much, Heather, for being on Ideas and Leaders podcast today. It was such a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you so much. I loved our conversation.
Thank you for listening to Ideas and Leaders podcast. Did you enjoy this episode? Let me know that you listened by tagging me in your LinkedIn profile and using a hashtag Ideas and Leaders. See you in the next episode.